Can you? Yep, we're live. Okay, everybody, let's get seated. The what? I can't do that anymore. Yeah, why don't you? Just go ahead and hand them out. So these guys are handing out a couple tracts that we'll be looking at later. And so anyhow, we have about 60 minutes of material to cover in 30. So, and I'm not a speed talker. And I'm sure you're not speed listeners either, so we'll just take it as it comes. Okay, well, it's good to be back again this week, and I had a lot of fun talking with you all last week about my story, I guess, and different things that God has done in my life to bring me to the point to where I am. And of course, stating the obvious, I am not any kind of expert on evangelism or anything like that, but I have had, I think it's 56 years of experience, I guess, so for what little bit that counts. And certainly I wasn't always up on that, and I often had times of opportunities to not be involved in evangelism. And so I am a learner, and I like to read about people's testimonies or different things about how best to share the gospel or what the gospel actually is. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about today is what is the gospel? What is the message that we need to share with someone if we want God to take that as the gospel, as Romans 1:16 says, and become the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes? Because it isn't the messenger, it's the message that allows people to put their faith and trust and confidence in their Savior, or in our Savior. So let me just start with a word of prayer, and we'll get going. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your faithfulness to the gospel. Thank you for the men over the years, the apostles and the prophets and all of those who recorded different events in the Bible that instruct us on how best or what is the message, the actual good news of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and the fact that he now is in heaven. And Father, thank you that that we come not in our own power this morning, but through faith. And thank you for the opportunity to share this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the great command that we find in the Bible? Speak up. The word, okay.
Go out and make disciples.
Go and make disciples. That is a command or a commissioning. And it is a command. But what did Jesus say is the great command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And would like to talk about that just a little bit as we get started. The great command is found in Matthew 22, 37. And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, or to the same degree that you love yourself." How many of you have ever found yourself loving yourself? Okay, some of you aren't being honest. Yeah, we all love ourselves way too much, don't we? And we have issues with that on a daily, maybe even moment-by-moment basis, to where we are able to set ourselves aside and to love others more than we love ourselves. It is my personal conviction that it is a person's heart disposition or inclination concerning this command that will dictate that person's desire towards sharing the or to share the gospel. If you don't love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, if you love yourself more than your neighbors, you will not be inclined to be sharing the gospel with those around you. Our neighbor, we're told in the scripture, is the person next door, the person that we meet broken down on the road. Jesus told the story about the man who was going to Jericho and found this person there who was beaten up, and well, there was this man that was laying there beaten up, and this priest comes by, and then a scribe and others come by who were religious, but they went to the other side of the street instead of ministering to the Samaritan guy or the guy there in the street. And then a Samaritan who is the enemy or the unliked of the Jewish community walks there and he ministers to this guy and takes care of his wounds and everything. And Jesus asked the disciples a question, who was this guy's neighbor? And it was the Samaritan who took time out of his life to take care of that man and to minister to him. And so my heart, how I feel or how I think about others, it will dictate whether or not I really have a heart's desire to share with them the gospel of Christ. We need to work at developing our love relationship with Christ. Bruce mentioned this morning about our reading programs. A reading program can be just a program, or it can be a date that you have with your sovereign God and the Lord Jesus every morning, every day, whenever it is you have that set up, to spend time with getting to know your Lord and Savior. It is some of the best moments you will spend in any day, the time you spend in the Word and in prayer with your Savior. It is, in my opinion, it will do more for your heart to share the gospel than anything else, getting to know your Savior better, learning to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your time. Takes a lot of time. And sometimes we only have 25 minutes a day, but trust me, Bruce spends a lot more time in the Word in a day than that. But that is his reading time. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, if we have been raised with Christ, if we are the saved ones on this earth, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." It goes on then to talk about putting to death the things of the flesh, the things of this world, learning to focus our time and energy on Christ. So that's the great command. But the great commission then is to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. "All authority in heaven and on earth," Jesus said to his disciples after he was raised from the dead and met them in Galilee. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's our marching orders. That's our commander telling us that he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he will be with us to the end of the age. But because of that, we are called to go out and to share the gospel. The gospel, we're told, it says that making disciples, go and make disciples. Jay Adams, in his Christian Counselor's New Testament, wrote concerning Matthew 28, 18 to 20, "The Great Commission is given in educational terms. Make disciples." Disciples are learners. They are students of Christ. We are to make disciples, students who are taught to observe all that he commanded. Evangelism includes the baptism or the introduction of converted people into the visible church as students of Christ. These persons must learn how to change their living in order to conform to Christ's revealed will for them. This is education for teaching to observe. And even the here and now, as Christ's disciples, you and I are disciples of Jesus Christ. If we have trusted in him, we are, quote someone else, Francis Cosgrove said, "Making disciples is essential to carrying out the Great Commission, and being a disciple is essential to making disciples. You can't make disciples if we don't have disciples." And so learning to share the gospel is one part of being a disciple of Christ, how to share the message of the Savior. You all have been given a tract, I hope. No? Some haven't, I guess. Maybe late arrival. Do we have any left over? Ah, there they are. Raise your hand if you didn't get a tract.
I did, but I
misplaced it. We'll get one to you. This is something that you can keep and read on your own. We don't have time to cover all of it, but it's a go-to, it's my go-to tract for if I want to give somebody a pamphlet, a tract that will inform them in a lengthy manner for a tract. It goes into detail and it answers some questions that all of us have as far as what is the essence of the message that needs to be communicated. It says in your tract, so what is the good news about Jesus? It has four questions that have been asked since forever. Who made us? And who to whom are we accountable? What is our problem? What is God's solution to our problem? And how can I be included in this solution? I find it intriguing to think that God would use me or you as a part of His solution to man's problem of not being of being separated from God. Think about that. It's amazing to think that God uses us to accomplish His purpose, to make disciples in all the world, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. He wants to use us, whether it's here, Acts 1:8. Warren, what does Acts 1:8 say?
You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yeah, you shall receive power. And the Holy Spirit will, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I know verses, I just can't get them to click into place at the right time. So, anyhow, yeah, God wants us to be His witnesses here in this life. So when we talk about the message, when you walk up to a friend and want to tell them about the gospel, what we need to know is in this tract, and I would urge you, it lists four things: God, man, and our problem, Jesus Christ, and our response to Christ. God, mankind, our problem, the solution being Jesus Christ, and then our response. But say you have a friend at work or somebody that you would like to share the gospel with. Knowing how to begin a conversation is as much a part of the message as the message itself, because it allows you a way to get into a spiritual conversation with someone. And I have found that asking a question or a series of questions helps tremendously. The other night, six of these young guys up here went out door-to-door with me this past Wednesday night. And I told them the same thing. If you can ask questions, get to know who they are, what their thoughts are about certain topics or whatever, it allows you to get into a conversation where instead of just saying, "Are you saved?" R.C. Sproul always, he often said when he was asked that question, or when he was first asked that question, he said, "Saved from what?" And because it's a different kind of language from what the people in the world are familiar with, we need to find a way to get into their train of thought, into their way of thinking, so that we can communicate the truths of the gospel. And I have found that, you know, if it's a friend of mine and I say, hey, Joe, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure, what is it? And I said, you know, I've been thinking a lot about life and death lately, and are you afraid to die? Have you ever thought about death? Or some other tack might be, you know, we just got back from a funeral and really got my heart thinking about the shortness, the brevity of life. And, you know, does that kind of stuff ever come to your way of thinking, to your mind? And there's a myriad of different ways that you can bring that conversation back to the thought of, even if you've been talking about baseball beforehand, you can bring that baseball conversation back to the reality of a person needing Christ as their Savior. I don't know. Are there any baseball players that died recently? I have no idea. I'm not a baseballer. But whatever it is, you know, to in your own mind, try to find ways to talk to people about their own mortality. You teenagers, I'm sure you all have experienced something that has caused you to be sad or disheartened or not real encouraged with what's going on in your life. And you might ask somebody or tell one of your friends that, you know, I've really been discouraged lately, or I've been worrying about this test that's coming up. Do you ever worry? Hear what their answer is, and then let them know that I tend to worry about tests, but I have learned, my mom's been telling me, or my dad's been telling me, that if I will pray and talk to Jesus about this, that he will comfort me. And then you have the opportunity, as a young person even, to share the gospel message with your friends and people that you know at school or whatever it might be. But I have found that questions is one of the best means of getting into conversations. Or somebody might bring it up themselves. I was on the carrier back somewhere, 1971 maybe, and I was fairly new to the squadron. We were just left port, and we didn't know where we were going. It was one of those things where a boat took off and nobody knew where the destination was, and it was shortly after the Cuban Missile Crisis, those of you who can remember that, and many of us thought that we were heading south to Cuba to quiet the rebel forces or whatever. And a guy came up to me, I didn't know him, but he said, Moore, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yes, why? Well, I've been watching you. Are you afraid to die? And so his fear of death, because of whatever he had learned from my actions or hearing whatever from other people, thought he would come to me to ask about life and death. So it's, study. Take that tract. Read it 4, 5, 6 times in the next several days so that you can be equipped with the message that you have. I also, the other night, last Wednesday, when the guys were out, we were talking to a young fella who claimed to be a Christian, and it didn't seem, he wasn't attending church, he didn't seem to have that kind of aura about himself, that he was excited to have some guys who knew the gospel come to his door And he thought, like I thought, when guys came to my door, oh no, what is this? And but we talked with him, and Hayden, was that you with me then? And anyhow, Hayden had some words to say, encouragement about the gospel, and just before we left, I thought of this verse. This means of, whereas the tract that you have is 4 or 5 pages long, this is one verse, and I'll have these available. You can come up here and get this, but it's called one verse evangelism, and you can use it in coffee shops. Get a, you know, a napkin that's laying there. You can draw on it, but it uses Romans 6:23 to communicate the gospel in its entirety. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so you can start out and draw a couple cliffs kind of things, and then put on one side God and man on the other side. And for the wages of sin is death. Do you know what sin is? Or do you consider yourself a good person or a bad person? Well, I consider myself a good person. Yeah, well, have you ever taken that coffee mug from your shop because you liked the logo on it and kept it for your own? Or have you ever stolen this or told a lie or whatever it might be? And, you know, to bring a person to the point of recognizing that they are sinners, because that's one of the obstacles. People think they are good. If you ask people, do you consider yourself a good person? Oh, yes. Or even ask them about, you know, are you a Christian? Yeah. Well, why do you think you're good enough to get into heaven? And they might say, well, I've tried to live a good life. Well, that's good. Do you think you've lived a good enough life to get to heaven? Well, I think God grades on a curve. You know, I think I'm good. I'm better than most. And you can take them to this verse and say, if you have sinned in any way, the wages, your payment for that sin is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. Ah, a free gift. Do you ever think of having a free gift of eternal life? Well, what does that mean? And then you can tell them about how Jesus on the cross offered himself up as a sacrifice to pay the penalty, pay those wages that you deserve, and to have eternal life. But I will leave this up there. Wages, sin, death, but. I love the word but, if I didn't say that before. It always comes up in pretty unique places. Free gift. The gospel is a free gift. But it's not free to everyone. It's free to those who receive the message, trust in Christ, and is putting their faith, their confidence, their hope in the Savior. And you have a chance to talk about that. And anyhow, I will leave these up here then. But I thought I'd leave sometime might be most helpful. What questions do you have about sharing the gospel? Next Sunday, I think, is it next Sunday we're going to do that? We're going to have a Q&A time, a panel type discussion during this second hour, where you'll be able to ask questions to your heart's content about from different people who are on the panel. But just for now, what questions do you have? What sticky points do you see in your life for sharing the gospel, Mark?
What would be the distinction between what this brochure has on it here, which could be talked over like at a cafe or something like that with some certain place between you and the person's inside, and they say, oh, people come into the door or whatever. What's a good entrance, do you know, as far as talking to people in a situation like that? Door to door is a little different, I think.
You six guys that were out, come on, there's got to be one brave person among you. Elijah, is this on? Yeah.
Is it on?
Yeah.
I guess it is. So Jim had taught us that you knock on the door, hopefully someone answers. When they answer, you just say your name and you present the people who are with you as well. So it would sound something like this. Hey, how's it going? What's your name? Mark. Hey, Mark, it's nice to meet you. My name is Elijah. This is Jim. We're members from a local church called Wichita Bible Church. It's right down the street. We've been going out in the neighborhood, so everyone pretty much knows about the church. They either drive by it every day or they've used the parking lot before for driving around. So you just introduce yourself. You say that we're here walking around trying to get to know the neighbors of the church, and then we just start typically by asking if they are currently attending a church or not. They'll go into it, simple yes or no. If it's a yes, you ask, well, where do they attend, and then what kind of church is it? If it's a no, you kind of ask why, if they've ever had a church life before, if their family has, kind of it's the gist of it. And then, as Jim said, just questions, as many questions as you can ask to keep them just pouring into you. And it kind of, in our experience, I would say, if they disagree, they can take the mic and say it. It helps kind of bring down a little barrier that they may have, a little wall. It just kind of opens up the conversation, lets them know that you're a normal person, not there trying to sell them something that they may not, you know. Just, I've heard other stories about other people knocking door to door, and it doesn't usually go too well. But yeah, you're just there. It's a simple conversation that you would have with anyone here, pretty much, for the first time that you meet them. It's the same. You're just trying to get to know them. So yeah, that's what I think we've found to be pretty easy. Hayden, do you agree? Hayden agrees.
Thanks, Elijah. Yeah, it's it can be daunting, but it's not impossible. I learned something from Bruce this morning that I really appreciate with that he said, that talking about walking by faith and not by sight. Sharing the gospel is walking by faith and not by sight. You don't know what's on the other side of the door. You don't know what is in the mind of the person that you want to talk about. You don't know what their experience has been. I've been had the people tell me not to leave their front porch. They told me not to leave their front porch because they're calling the cops. And so I waited there and talked with him while he called the cops. And and the cops came and said, "You're good." No, didn't have a no soliciting sign or anything, which we do honor. I told the city councilman that I talked to that we would honor them when he asked about that. So, but yeah, it's really quite. If you are asking questions with sincerity, truly and interested in that person's life, where they are, why are they offended by the gospel or the thought of attending a church or something, I think you'd be surprised at the conversations you can have. Five things I have listed here. Actually, four questions was the last. But for your number one thing, pray. If you, even if you're talking to somebody that's sitting next to you in a restaurant or something, pray before you start to talk. Commit your conversation to the Lord. and trust Him in it. Remember who is in control. It is not the messenger, but the message. Know your own testimony. I don't know if you've ever taken time to write your story down on how you yourself came to know Christ as your personal Savior, but it is helpful if you are talking to someone and they ask you, so why are you telling me this? Have you done this? And then you will have a ready reference, your own experience with Christ, trusting Him as your Savior. And some things you want to include is what it was that you heard, if there's any special Bible references that made an impact on you, what it was that you did, how did you respond, what was the, because the gospel, the response that we're looking for that's in that tract there, or even if we're talking to others, is faith and repentance. And you can put repentance and faith, whatever, but repentance is changing your mind and your actions. It is, if you have been rebellious against Christ in the past, repentance is changing the way you think about Christ. It's not cleaning up your it's not cleaning up your life, repenting of all your sins and then thinking that tomorrow I have to be perfect. It's not that. It is a change of mind, change of focus, a change of who is in control of my life. That is repentance. And then know your own testimony, and then avoid traps. We ran into one the other last Wednesday night, knocked on the door, and the guy came out and was very friendly, I would say. But then he started asking the questions. He was asked if he has a church home. No, I don't attend church because I'm really fed up with it and this and that. And because, anyhow, he had several questions of us that was really confrontive and was impossible to ask or answer without being offensive to him. And I consider that and other things, I make it a point to never argue when sharing the gospel. Because if someone is intent on destroying either your faith or your message, they will come at it from multiple different directions. And you may want to have a conversation with him about or her sometime, but give them your phone number. You take their phone number and get back in touch with them. But I really try not to have those kind of conversations in any place but a private place where you can talk to your, you know, any length of time. But so many times, yeah, this person was challenging us to, what you read the Apocrypha, that's where the truths are. That's, they didn't put that in the Bible because they're afraid it will destroy the message. Well, that's because it's from Satan himself for the most part. But anyhow, you have to be careful on how you handle situations like that. My time was up 5 minutes ago, but thank you. Yeah, come next week if you have more questions. Appreciate your attention, and I hope that you have success. If you have people in mind that you want to share the gospel with, I pray that you will be bold as lions and harmless as doves, and that you will trust in Christ, to trust Christ to be your guide and direction in that. So thank you, and let me close in prayer. And Father in heaven, you know each of our hearts and the desire that we have to be used by you to communicate the gospel, to be a part of the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples, being able to usher them into the family of God and to be a part of helping them be good disciples themselves. Father, teach us what you have for us from these. And anyhow, just commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are soliciting questions for the Q&A next week, so I'll send out an email. But if you have any questions that you would like to have one of the experts on the panel address, and if there's any
different, well, it's not us,
you'll see.
These will be up here.
Yeah.